Okay, I'm titling this message, Here Comes 2026. I looked back and saw what we considered back in 2024, just as the year was about to roll over. And in some ways, the same things that I had to say back then, I want to say again. May this year be a year whereby on, off, are you waving at me? Okay, good. The same things that I sort of exhorted you last year, I want to exhort you again, but maybe a little bit more specific. May this year be a year in which you behold the Lord and His excellence even more, if I could put it that way. It's hard to express, especially as we are people who have grown up in a very demanding and pressurizing world. And by that, I don't mean that we're somehow disadvantaged. I simply mean that if we're not careful, the spirit of this world can imprint its agenda on us so strongly that we just sort of bobble along. And it's easy to start thinking, I'm just a thing bobbling along on a river with no control. And we can forget that actually the great privilege of my life is that I'm permitted to come to know the Lord, to know what God is like, to be His friend, okay? I don't mean that we walk around saying, I'm a friend of God, I'm a friend of God. That's for Him to say. But we get the opportunity to come to a place where we're just so caught up with Him that everything else has its proper place, okay? Jesus was never afraid because everything was in its proper place. God was highest of all, and everything else was below His feet. And He is a template for us. And so I do pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would open the eyes of each of our hearts, that we would see Him more. Okay? That is the great privilege and the adventure of your life, even though I can't just sort of translate that into a monetary value. Because you know the Lord, you will be X thousand dollars richer at the end of this year. I can't do something like that. But I can say that all through history, the people who got a glimpse of Him were changed. The people who saw something about Him that drew Him were made extraordinary from being very ordinary. Okay? He is the one that makes all the difference, and He is the one who wants to do that for you. Okay? He handcrafted you, if I could put it that way. And has purposes for you, has adventures for you, has insights for you. He wants to do things in and through each one of us that somebody else can't do. Okay? As I said, He handcrafted you. We're not just sort of stamped out of some machine and we're all just sort of have some function. He knows you personally, right? He calls you by name, is how one of the scriptures say. And I want us to be more caught up with that. There is nothing I will ever be afraid of if I see the Lord. And on the flip side of that, where I am afraid, I am not seeing the Lord as He really is. Right? And this is the kind of thing that God calls us to. Just like you can't read a book and know how to drive a car, so you can't read a book and know how to walk with the Lord. You've got to live it. You've got to just day by day make choices. And that's just the precious privilege of our life. So let me start there, and then let me just exhort you. I want to take you to three portions of Scripture. James chapter 2. I confess, I got this passage because my wife was going to use it in Sunday school, but it struck me. So I'll run with it with the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to James chapter 2. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11. Then I'm going to read just this portion from Philippians chapter 3. In James chapter 2, the very last verse. This is the NASB, English translation. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Okay? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to actually jump back to verse 20. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Okay? And then lastly, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read in verse 7 onwards. But whatever things, and I want to remind you that this is Paul the Apostle who is writing these things. And he saw extraordinary things. He saw extraordinary miracles. He dared extraordinarily. He did things that other people would not think to do, all because God got involved with him and saved him. And he responded. And so according to that, he saw great things. But I want to point out to you the and see if you can get a sense of what it is that he really valued. Okay? But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of it, for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I'm going to stop there. I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence. But the main point of what I want to get across is there. Okay? So, as I've said to you, Jesus has given himself that we might have a relationship with God that fulfills us. Let me put it in a different way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Eternal life is not the extent of your life. It is a description of the quality of the life that God wants you to have. Jesus said, you know, the thief, he comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So we know what God's agenda is concerning us generally, but also concerning us specifically. Concerning you, he wants you to have life. Okay? So, I will start by reminding you, open the present. Okay? You are not benefited from a Christmas present sitting under your tree, if that's how you celebrate Christmas. If you have a present and it's wrapped, you can be thankful for it. You can be grateful for the person who gave it to you. If it's a new car and the key is sitting in that box, you ain't driving until you open that present. So likewise, God gave a present. His name is Jesus. But if you don't personally unwrap that present, he does not benefit you. Okay? I don't mean to be trivial about this. In some ways, I think it's very important. I believe that every person, God wants good for every person. And whether you believe in him or not, he still wants good for you. That I have no question about. But it doesn't really benefit you unless you personally believe. Unless you personally believe. In the beginning of the book of John, it says, to all those who believe, he gave the right to become the children of God. And somebody expressed it this way, believing and receiving equals becoming. And so if you have not received Jesus for yourself, what are you waiting for? A Christian is not a person who attends church. A Christian attends church because of who they are. They have become part of the living God and his purposes. So they want to be with others. But merely going to church, by all means, go. But the benefit isn't from the attending. It is from who it is that makes new life possible. So if you haven't given your life to the Lord, I'm not trying to browbeat you or pressure you, but my question to you would be, why not? And it's worth answering. I'm not saying that you just have to do whatever I tell you to do, if only it worked that way. But I am saying to you, you should answer that question. Jesus himself asked that to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You are a figment of people's imagination, and I want everybody to like me, so I just go along. Okay? Well, at least you're clear on that. Okay? Doesn't mean you're right, but at least you have a clear idea of it. Please don't play games. Not one of us knows whether we will be here tomorrow. Okay? And we've had horrific circumstances that very dramatically underscore that. You don't know whether you'll be alive tomorrow. Then you stand before the living God, and his question will be, how will you pay for all you have done wrong? And if you believe in Jesus, you already have a claim. He paid for it. So let me, again, state that. It is something that requires your personal response, right? And in one sense, you already have a personal response. If you haven't said yes to him, well, your response was no. It just may not look like a no. And so that really does matter. But having said yes to him, let me just set a few things for you in the few minutes I have left here. You know, in 2024, as it rolled to 2025, I said, behold the Lord. And in the course of 2025, we worked on two series of messages. One had to do with working out your salvation. Okay? And I want to remind you of that, that as Christians, we can very easily be very passive. Yeah, God wants these things from me. And don't realize we have a part to play in that. It's not that we convince God through our labor that he ought to bless us, but rather, to take advantage of what he has done requires your participation. It requires your participation. Okay? So I want to again remind you, work out your salvation, because it's God who is at work in you. And then we also talked about the disciples' prayer, and we saw that it's both a pattern for how to pray, but also a pattern for how to live. Oftentimes that prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, is just sort of a tack on to some ceremony that we might be part of. And we miss the importance of it. That he was actually telling you, here's how to pray effectively. And it always starts with giving God first place. Okay? Now, it's not because God is jealous, and it's not because God has a poor self-image, and he needs people to pump him up. And so he says, oh God, how great you are. No. If you don't have this right, everything else in your life will be out of order. There is no one like the living God. You can be as caught up in as crazy circumstances as you can possibly imagine. But if God has the proper place in your life, not a problem. Not a problem. If God does not have the proper place in your life, then you're adrift at sea. And all of your clever sailing skills doesn't change the fact that you're adrift at sea, right? So I remind you of those things, and let me, why does this thing keep doing this? Let me now set a challenge for you. Again, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, or you once upon a time gave your life to the Lord, and for the last number of years you've been quarreling, upset with him because he didn't do something that you thought he ought to do, I challenge you to start by responding to the Lord. Okay? Nothing gets repaired in your life. Nothing gets repaired in your life if you are not friends with God. Things can look like they're getting repaired. People can be kind to you, but your foundation is on sand that can slip away at any moment. Okay? So first things first, how was it said in the song? Get your business straight with God, as it were. Number two, I would like to challenge you that you would do things in this year that result in you growing in your practice of faith. Okay? So let me be specific. I'm asking you to set some goals for yourself. Now, I'm not talking about, I can do 5 push-ups now, I want to be able to do 10 push-ups at the end of the year, okay, or whatever number is appropriate for you. I'm not talking about things you could do without the Holy Spirit, okay, because I'm not sure if you're aware, people do push-ups, and they're not necessarily believers, okay? So I'm not talking about the kinds of things that anybody could do. Although I do encourage you to have those goals. You know, by the end of this year, I want to make X thousand dollars. I want this. I want that. Absolutely fine. I think those are worthwhile things to set before the Lord. But I'm asking those of us who are part of this church on a regular basis to deliberately try to accomplish something that you have to believe for. Okay? And by that, I don't just mean make some outlandish statement. The Lord is going to do this. I mean, this is what I want to see. Let's say, I'm just making up an example, okay? I have trouble experiencing healing in this area, and I have to take medication for it. So by the end of this year, I want to take less medication for this thing. As an example, okay? Now, maybe you're at a place where I don't want any medication, or maybe you're at a place where something even bigger. I don't care where you're at. What I'm interested in is what you do with where you're at. So I want you to be very deliberate and like, if you're anything like me, I'll sit in the car and come up with the most outlandish and wild thing that sounds impressive to God, and he honestly doesn't care about how impressive it sounds. What he's interested in is, what will you really believe me for? Okay? And I want you to write it down, and I want you to talk to somebody else about it, okay? And by that, I don't mean, okay, so obviously there's going to be some things that you are reaching to the Lord for that you're not going to talk to other people about it. I'm not saying anything and everything, go and talk. I want you to think of a goal that you could share with somebody else and say, you know what, this is what I want to see in the Lord, okay? So do you understand what I'm saying? So if it's some deeply personal and private thing, I'm not asking you to share that, okay? Those are still welcome before the Lord, okay, of course. But I'm asking you as a side project, something that you could mention to, at the very least if you're married, your spouse, but to a friend. You know what, this is what I really want to see progress in. And I'm saying this in this attitude, that there is no condemnation for you. So if somebody's tempted to say, what, you're still struggling with that? That is not the person to talk to. Okay? Because you don't got to be ashamed of where you're at. You just need to, as Paul said, press on. Forgetting what lies behind. Yeah, I've spent 50 years messing around, but forgetting that, this is what I'm now expecting. Okay? And then I also want you to recognize that this is going to mean that you will have to work on it. We have this weird idea that faith is just some weird mystical thing that just sort of sometimes hits people, and there we go. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. There's your standard. You've got to get to the place, not where it'd be nice if this happened. I'd really like this to happen. I know this is what God wants because the scripture says it. All great places. But until your heart can say, this will happen, and you have no doubt, you're not ready. So what I'm really challenging you to do is to identify what it is that you're aiming for and then work towards it. How? Well, you are never going to develop a faith that causes you to say, for sure this happens, without any doubting, if you don't use His Word. So I'm asking you then to deliberately keep using His Word until you arrive at this place. You know, you and I may set a goal, and we may have all sorts of agendas, but I don't know that we ever realize God really wants us to succeed at those goals. More than I want to see me experiencing healing, He wants me to see it. He is for my success in it. So what does He do? He gives you something that can take you from wherever you are to the place where even little old you can speak to something and have no question it will happen. That is what the Word of God can do for you. So what I'm asking you to do, identify a challenge, and then begin to work towards it. You do not have to have this challenge solved by next week. Okay? And you don't have to solve it by the week after either. But what I'm asking you to do is, this is what I'm after, and this is where I'm going to get to. I ask you, God, to help me. And then you begin to take. So for example, if it is about healing, you begin to look, what basis do I have to expect that if I speak to my body, it's going to change? And you look and see how many times Jesus' reaction to somebody being sick was to heal them. How many places where, even in the midst of unbelief, where He couldn't do many great miracles, He could still heal. How much healing is associated with what God Himself is like. And stacked up against it is all of our experiences of failure, all the people we prayed for who died, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, that's the environment that we're operating in. But what I'm trying to get across to you is to handle this in a sober way, as opposed to, I'll just take a shot at it. I'm not interested in you taking a shot. I'm interested in you succeeding, overcoming. You can do this in the Lord. If you believed, you've been given a measure of faith, and it is as effective as anybody else's from Paul on down. It's the same kind of faith, right? The same kind of faith as the apostles. But you and I just don't have the practice in using it. And so let's practice. Let's practice. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Okay? That's the main challenge that I have for you. I don't want to just bumble through this year. Bumbling is not the right word. At least oftentimes in my life, it's more like hold on with both hands and fly by the seat of my pants as whatever happens. Like a roller coaster. I have no control. It's just going to happen. That's actually not true. That's just because of how I have responded to the things that have happened to me. Actually, I walk with the Lord. I don't got to just go with whatever's happening. But I will go with whatever's happening if I'm not deliberate about it. If I'm not deliberate about it. So, do you understand? Write down something that requires you to take a step of faith. I want us to grow in faith. When Jesus comes back, He's not going to look and see how many digits are in your salary. He's not going to look at how many digits are in your debt. He's not going to look at any of those things. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? And what our answer needs to be is, it might be tiny, but you will find it with me. Okay? Not because I heard a teaching about faith and I know how faith teachings are supposed to work, but because I set a goal and I reached it by faith. I practiced it. I practiced it. Faith without works is dead. Faith without the practice, the actual working towards it, cultivating it, is just talk. And that doesn't really count. So I want to challenge you to grow in faith, and again, I'll just say, I wish I was more eloquent. How do you get across the extraordinary privilege of coming to know the Lord. So whatever is happening in this year, may the outcome of it be that you saw something about the Lord at the end of 2026 that you didn't see at the beginning of it. You saw something about how merciful He is, how patient He is, how absolutely kind He is. Now, I think everybody who has had any experience with the Lord knows a measure of that. But there are depths to it, if you know what I mean. There are depths to it. And may you plumb those depths. May you begin to find the kindness of the Lord at a deeper level, an insight from the Lord that you didn't have before. May you pursue the Lord. Psalm 91, here's where I end. The one that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God in whom I trust. And he goes on to say, because this guy, this girl, this person set their love upon me, I will show them my salvation. Okay? May that be you. And may you be an encouragement to your brothers and sisters that it might be them. Okay? Goal, share it with somebody. I forgot to say, the point of that sharing was so that you could help each other. We could help each other. Not like, okay, I'm checking up on you. Okay? But you could check up in the sense of, that's not me. The goal of it is not, as I said, check up on each other in the sense of, well, are you doing, you know, get to work sort of thing? But where they might be, what's the word? Struggling? Help them bear their burden. Right? Not just, well, you know, you really ought to be further along than this. No, that's not the Lord. Just, okay, they're struggling. Lift their shoulder up. Help them. Encourage them. They can do the same for you. The point here is to work out our salvation by practicing faith. Okay? In the name of Jesus, Father, we are in your presence and you've heard all that is said. And now I ask you, in the loving kindness of the Lord, win us over. Come and glorify Jesus in each of our lives. There is nothing that is so far gone, nothing too far messed up, that you cannot redeem it. We just thank you for the power of your great salvation. For the least of us to the highest of us, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, the greatest of us to the least of us. You are the Lord and you make all the difference. And we just give thanks to you. Open the eyes of our heart in Jesus' name. Amen.